Now to Him who loves us and has made us to be His very own through His precious blood, to Him be glory, honor, power, and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this Christmas morning is from Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 through 23, and also chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, in whose birth we rejoice and have revealed to us the full glory of God, dear fellow redeemed. Dedekind numbers. If your immediate thought was, "What in the world is that?" Well, I'm right alongside with you. Dedekind numbers are a rapidly growing sequence of integers named after a Richard Dedekind, who defined them in 1897. In short, the Dedekind number M is the number of monotone Boolean functions of n variables. Again, if your reaction to this is, "What are you talking about?" Well, you're in the same spot as me. I'm not going to try and pretend to know what these numbers are or how they work, but I do have a reason for bringing them up. The only known Dedekind numbers are the values for 0 through 9. For example, the value of the Dedekind number 0 is 2, 1 is 3, 2 is 6, 3 is 20, so on and so forth. Now, up until 2023, the value for 9 was thought to be incalculable. It was too complex. Two mathematicians, however, came up with the same value and thus solved it. The value for the Dedekind number 9 is over 286 tritacillion. That's 286 followed by 42 sets of zeros. Now, experts say that the value for 10 is truly incalculable. It would take a supercomputer with the power of the same output of the sun in order to calculate a number that large and that complex. Now, you go far enough into the future, and we might have the technology that would allow us to calculate it. But for now, it remains impossible. There aren't that many things in our world today that are truly impossible. It goes to show how God truly made human beings to be very intelligent. We butt our heads against something long enough, and chances are we'll figure it out. Well, Moses finds himself in a pretty near impossible situation. God had told him to lead the children of Israel from Mount Sinai to now go in and take over the Promised Land. This was a land in which there were many strong and well-equipped nations. Now, that doesn't seem that impossible. But think about who this people was. This was a people who, right after seeing God deliver them out of Egypt, part the Red Sea, decided to worship golden calves as a God who delivered them. This was a people who, after God provided food for them by a miracle, complained that that food was too boring. They were a fickle people. And this was the people that Moses was supposed to take the promised land over with. You could see how it's an impossible situation. Well, Moses takes that impossible situation and goes ahead and makes an impossible request of the Lord to see His glory. If God had revealed His full glory to Moses, it would have been to his immediate death. It shows that Moses truly didn't know what he was asking for with this request. So instead, God shows Moses his glory that had passed by. It means that Moses was able to look back and see all the times in the history of the world that the Lord had shown his love and compassion to his people. No, he didn't get the full image, the full view of God's glory from the beginning of time to the end of time. But what he did receive was enough to move forward in faith, trusting that the Lord would take his impossible situation and make it possible. Have you ever found yourself in Moses' shoes, desiring to see the glory of God, wishing just once you could see what God is doing, why He is letting all these things happen to you or to your loved ones? To understand the whys about evil, sadness, or just to have the future laid out clearly so your eyes can see this is what's going to happen. To our reason, that sounds like the greatest possible thing we could ever ask for. But is it? See, the question we need to ask is, why do we want to see God's glory? Is it because that He owes you for something that you did for Him? Does He owe you answers for everything that has happened to you? That is what we like to think, isn't it? But what does God owe us? What does He owe a people who continually kick against the goad, disobey Him at every turn, want nothing to do with Him in the first place? There are things that we all would like to have answers for. But God knows better than we do. He doesn't give us those answers by a show of His power. He gives us the answers that we need by showing us His grace. Something that we don't even deserve in the first place. He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy." The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, by forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Notice how extensively the Lord talks about His goodness, grace, and mercy. He does so to point Moses in the direction he needed to look. Not the power of God, not about the future, but to something far greater than the answers that Moses thought he needed, than the answers that we think we need. That something is Christmas, and more specifically, the birth of our Savior. Because at Christmas, God did reveal His glory. not the passing glory like it was for Moses, but his full glory and majesty, present in the unassuming baby in the manger, the incarnate Son of God. And how does that show his glory? It's because of what Jesus came here to do. The birth of Jesus, our Savior, brought peace between you and God. He came to remove the separation that existed between us and God. A separation that was caused by our sin and rebellion against Him. John writes in his Gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We get to see the same glory that Moses saw of God, but even more fully, because God's plan of salvation had been brought to pass through the birth of His Son. The glory that Moses saw, he saw dimly, because he had the law. The law revealed the passing glory of God, which was a picture pointing forward to the one who was to come. But when you look back on the pages of Scripture, you are looking at God's glory. You are seeing every time His love was in action for His people. And every time that God's love was in action for you as well. You see God acting, not because you did something to earn this grace and mercy, but rather because this grace and mercy is directed towards you, despite our wrongdoings. It's been said that that Scripture holds 365 passages with variations for the words, "Do not be afraid." One, do not be afraid for every single day of your life. Well, as nice as that sounds, the actual number is probably around 145. And yet the statement remains true. Though you may not have 365 different verses telling you, do not be afraid, you do have a God who puts His hand on your shoulder every morning telling you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the future, whether it's health, wealth, or family, because your God is in control. His glory reveals to you this promise, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as a world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You have what matters. You have peace with God and all the splendor of His glory revealed in Jesus. You have a Savior who walks with you daily, providing for your every need, and even preserving you when you are without. Do not be afraid of missing out on the glory of God. He has sent you His Holy Spirit who reveals it to you on a daily basis. Every day you can calm your heart with the knowledge that Jesus died for your sins and was raised for your justification. You can see God's glory active in your relationship with others, and more importantly, in your relationship with Him. Do not be afraid of the evils of this world, the hand you have been dealt, or the ever-present questions of why. The glory of the Lord that shines in your heart is full of steadfast love, of such a quantity that it can never be diminished. That means that there is no sin too great, no time spent too long away from God. No doubt that is too great for him to overcome. God's love forgives and overcomes all of that with more to spare. I'm sure many of you have read the poem called Footsteps. In this poem, a man is walking with Jesus along the beach, and as he's looking back over the moments of his life, the moments appear as footprints in the sand. When seeing only one pair of footprints, he wonders why God had left him during those times. They're the most difficult times, after all. But then comes Jesus' gentle reply. My son, those were the times that I carried you. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior this Christmas, look back on those moments in your life when God carried you. Because those are the moments when God showed you His glory. Because He fulfilled every promise He made to you in Scripture to never leave you or forsake you. And now look forward in your life. And rather than looking forward in fear or uncertainty, trust that God will continue to show you that glory and carry you again. Now, to close our service this morning, we will be singing the hymn, Joy to the World. That's because you have the best reason to be joyful this Christmas season. You have seen the glory of God in action, and you carry with you all the promises of God fulfilled. So carry that joy as you leave here this morning, so that the world might share in the glory that is yours in the baby Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.